Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. As you're turning to John chapter 1, for the last four Sundays, we've been looking at the names of Jesus, names which for us are like Christmas presents underneath the Christmas tree. We unwrapped these names in the last few weeks. In Matthew 1, we saw that his name is Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's our biggest problem, our deepest problem, and we have been saved by the from the penalty of our sin, the power of sin, and one day even the presence of sin because of the one whose birth we celebrate tomorrow. Then after that, we looked at Emmanuel. We need Emmanuel because we need to know that God is with us, that God is for us, that God will never leave us, he'll never forsake us, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. We also looked at this child as king. We're reminded we are part of a kingdom, and where there's a kingdom, there's a king. God is the king. We're not. Jesus is. Then last week we looked at this child known as the Word, the eternal, creative, incarnated communication to us of nothing less than the heart and mind of God. And when we receive the Word, we receive him not as a fill-in-the-blank concept, but as he is revealed in the Bible, the revelation of God's grace to us, found in the person of Jesus Christ. And that brings us now to this next word, and that is we're going to look at Jesus this morning as the light. So let us begin our reading at John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was, notice, the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let me ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's word. The grass withers, the flower fades. The word of our God endures forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this revelation of your Son that we see here in your word. And we pray, God, not only will we better understand how you have revealed Jesus to us, but that we would live our lives in light of that revelation. Lord, we pray that this word would not simply inform us, but that this word and your Spirit working together would transform us this day. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, there used to be a store located on what used to be the main traffic artery going through Hattiesburg, Mississippi. The store was named Milton's Limited. Now, this store sold both the latest and traditional men's clothing, very expensive store. But for several Christmases in a row, Milton's offered a unique way of wrapping a gift. It was this. They would seal your gift in a tin can. Now, think about that. Ties, socks, cologne, whatever. They had three sizes of tin cans. Your gift could be sealed. Now, imagine walking in Christmas morning, looking under the tree, and your loved one has bought you a tin can. And so you unwrap it. You look. There's a tin can. You say, excuse me while I go to the kitchen to get a can opener. You open up this tin can, and in there is an expensive gift from Milton's Limited. What a surprise. I mean, how many of us look in a tin can for something valuable? Well, the birth of Jesus is just that kind of surprise. Here you have the creator of life, the savior of God's people, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, born in the least likely place you'd expect. Think about it. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. Friends, that town was so small that Bethlehem didn't even have a Baptist church. Jesus was born in a smelly stable surrounded by cattle in a manger, which is just a fancy name for a feeding trough. Jesus' birth is announced to shepherds, at best second-class citizens, at worst societal outcasts. That's the setting of the incarnation, the last place you would ever expect the arrival of royalty. No news correspondents from CNN and Fox News, no YouTube presentations, no paparazzi. Royalty arrives in the least likely place, in the least likely way. Now, contrary to expectations, King Jesus comes into the world. That's the history of the birth of Christ. But there's something more amazing, something that's pointed out here in John 1, something more important than the place and time and space and history of Jesus' birth, and that is, what's important is the theology of Jesus' birth. That's verses 1 through 4. We just read that together. That's the theology. Jesus is God, the second member of the Trinity, the originator of all things created, the source of life, the source of light. And then this theme of light is picked up beginning in verse 4. Jesus is himself the light shining into the darkness of this world. Friends, this theology in John 1 is not just something to read about, think about, discuss, deposit in our brains. This is practical theology. This morning, as we work our way, especially through verses 4 through 8, well, actually 4 through 12, as we work through these verses, what we discover is since everybody responds in some way to Jesus, who is the light of the world, we need to make sure our response to Jesus is the right response. The right response. Now, these verses reveal three possible responses to Jesus, the light of the world. Spoiler alert, one of them is wrong. The other two are right. Notice with me in the first place, the first way we may respond to Jesus, the light of the world, is by witnessing to the light. Witnessing to the light. That's the first response. Verses 6 through 8, there's an introduction of a man named John. That's the Greek form of the Hebrew name Jonathan. The name John, Jonathan, means this. It means God is gracious. And the mission of John is in verse 1. He came as a witness. Notice verse 7. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe in him. The question for us this Christmas Eve is this: how do we witness to the light? One way is this: we witness to the light by making sure that our witness is not about us. Notice what it says. He was not the light. He came to bear witness to the light. Friends, there's only one light we need to talk about, and that's Jesus. You know, we witness, we're not here to throw the spotlight on our pious opinions, our moral advice, our spiritual insight. Witnessing should not be for us another opportunity for a selfie to give to others. We witness about Jesus, not about us. And we witness about Jesus not as a light among many, but about Jesus who is the light. Look at verse 9. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. There's a city in the northern border of Norway that 3 months a year, the sun never rises above the horizon. Think about that. For 3 months a year, this city in Norway experiences perpetual darkness. Some studies have been done. And for 3 months out of the year, the citizens of this city are tense, full of fear, preoccupied with thoughts of suicide. During these 3 months, the least desirable traits step out of the shadows. There's a lot of envy, suspicion. Crime rates soar. during those 3 months. The citizens will tell you, in interview after interview, they long for the light. Some even install neon lights around their windows. Well, friends, what happens physically in Norway 3 months out of the year happens spiritually 12 months out of the year when people attempt to live their lives apart from Jesus, who is the light of the world. You know, here's the bad news. This whole planet is unplugged. This world lies in total darkness. But here's the good news. The light has come. The light will shine into the darkness of every life that receives Jesus Christ. Notice verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. What we communicate, wherever God puts us, is that the light has come. Another way we testify is by preparing people for the coming of Christ. Skip over to verse 23. John the Baptist says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make way, make straight the way of the Lord. And then he talks about something called repentance. One way we testify is by preparing people for the coming of Christ. Christ is coming. Years ago, when gas stations had attendants, a minister waited in a long line to have his car filled with gas just before the Christmas holiday weekend. The attendant motions the reverend to the gas pump and he says, Pastor, sorry for the delay. It seems that everyone waits until the last minute to get ready for a long trip. He says, I understand. They do that in my business too. They wait till the last minute. Friends, our job, and we are all ministers of the grace of God in Christ, our job is to prepare people for the coming of Christ. One day in the future, every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet is going on a very long trip. And the destination is a personal encounter with the Lord. As Kevin DeYoung once said, everybody will see God. But it's what happens after that that matters. We better be prepared. We cannot wait until the last moment because we don't know when the last minute is. In your life, you don't know if you're living in the first quarter, if it's halftime of your life, if you're in the fourth quarter, or if the two-minute warning is sounded. You don't know. And this preparation for Jesus has a name. It's called repentance. You know what repentance is? It's having a wholehearted sorrow for your sins. It's being broken by your sins. It's breaking up with those sweetheart sins that are keeping you from total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is turning to the Lord. It's leaving the darkness. It's embracing the light. Think of it this way. You cannot cling to Jesus and embrace your sins at the same time. If you're going to embrace Jesus when it comes to your sin, you got to let it go, let it go. Witnessing to the light, good response. Notice in the second place, the second way we respond to the light of the world is by rejecting the light. Look at verses 9 and 10. The true light, which is lightens everyone, is coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own people. They did not receive him, rejecting the light. Several years ago, when Hall of Fame Super Bowl MVP quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, Joe Montana, was on a disabled list with a hand injury. He's having lunch with his wife and children in a restaurant in Maui. Waitress sees Joe and she says, you poor man, how did that happen? Montana says, well, I broke my hand playing football. Waitress responds, really? Aren't you a little old to be playing football? Here's a man in the prime of his career. For a famous professional football player, it must have been disconcerting for Joe Montana not to even be recognized. Think about how much more disconcerting it was for the Lord Jesus Christ. He incarnated the world he designed. Jesus entered a world he spoke into existence, a world that was hooked up on a moment-by-moment basis on his life support. And this world did not know Jesus. As a matter of fact, it says in verse 5, not only that the word there is did not overcome the light, it's also did not even understand the light. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't overcome it. Friends, people don't understand Jesus. Jesus is special, set apart, unlike any founder of any religion ever. Michael Green has a great defense of Jesus and of Christianity. And in his defense of Christianity, he mentions four points that set Jesus apart. Four things that make Jesus special and different. Four points that lead us to, I would pray, have faith in Jesus, because this Lord is on a class by himself. Let me share these four points. Green said, first of all, no other teacher but Christ claimed to bring God to us. In all the religions, we're figuring out some way to get to God. Green says, Jesus brings God to us. That is the path of grace. This is the path of religion going up to God. This is the path of grace. Secondly, no other teacher but Christ dealt radically with the problem of sin. Jesus is the only religious leader, hardly even mentions it, much less deals with sin. Third, no other teacher broke the final barrier, death. Founders of all religions but one are still in their grave. The grave of our Lord Jesus Christ is not occupied because he is not there. And then fourth, no other teacher offered to perpetually live within his followers. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit so that he may live within us. And friends, when you think about it, Mr. and Mrs. Average Joe cannot even comprehend this kind of Jesus. I mean, people don't have a clue about this kind of Jesus. You notice in verse 11, it says he came into his own home, to Israel, to the land of promised to Abraham, to the temple dedicated to God, to the chosen people of God. Jesus came to people who should have known better, but he was not received. Friends, let this be a reminder to us. It is possible to be religious, to consider yourself even one of God's frozen chosen people, to be a moral, civil, really good person, and still stumble around in spiritual darkness. When you reject the light, no matter what else you do, by default, you're choosing the darkness. Wasn't shocked at all when I read this year of a San Diego mother told by school officials of the Del Mar Union School District, an actual quote, "You may no longer read any Christmas story in your daughter's class, nor may you wear any jewelry with a Christmas theme." And the reason is because the word Christmas contains the word Christ, and we must not promote a religion in this school. But friends, the hypocrisy of this school policy is this same school encourages and promotes participation in another holiday with major league religious connotations. And that's a holiday they promote called Halloween. In San Diego, California, this year, in at least one school district, Satan gets a pass while Jesus gets the shaft. You know, the irony of this story is this. All but one member of this school board, all but one member, are leaders in their churches. Religious people in our culture, the light is rejected even by church leaders. Friends, we are called to strive by the grace God gives us, not only to comprehend this Jesus as revealed in the Bible, but we're called to consistency between our claim to know Christ and our conduct as Christians. Rejection of the light in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and what we believe, how we live, rejection is never a good response. So now we've looked at two responses. People, you and me, we respond to Jesus, the light. We may witness to the light. We may reject the light. Notice in the third place, the third way we may respond to the light is this. It's by receiving the light. Receiving the light. Look at verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We just look at that verse for just a moment. You know, we hear a lot about division these days, division between races, division between ideologies, division between political parties, division within political parties, division between genders. We have profound divisions in this country these days. Division between, well, everybody, pretty much. But I want you to realize, according to Scripture, the most profound division there is in the world today is the division between people who receive Jesus Christ and people who reject Jesus Christ. And friends, there is an eternity of difference between people who receive the light and people who reject the light. You know, the good news of the gospel begins with bad news, and that is there is only two categories of people on the face of this earth. There is no third category. 1 John 5:12 says this world is divided between the haves and the have-nots. He who has the Son has the life. He who has not the Son does not have the life. That is the division. And whoever in this world is not embracing the light lives in darkness, descending headlong into everlasting darkness. That is bad news. You may remember in the aftermath of the tragic automobile accident that killed Princess Diana back in 1997, out of that came some astonishing news, and that is the chauffeur of Diana's car had three times the legal limit of alcohol in his bloodstream. Three times. He had been speeding as fast as 140 miles an hour. Here's a man making what was then over $200,000 a year in American money. And this man had no training whatsoever in driving. This man was hired simply on the basis of his charm, wit, and friendliness. Since that time, celebrities have begun hiring drivers not on charm, wit, or ability to massage their egos, but simply on the basis of one question. The question they ask now is this: can this person drive me safely to my destination? It's what I want to know. Beloved, when it comes to arriving safely at our eternal destination, we better be careful who's driving the car. There's only one driver we can trust to carry us safely home to heaven. And that's what faith is. It's trust. It's trust in one driver to take us there. His name is Jesus. But I want you to notice something else. When it comes to responding to the light, we always live in a tension. Look at verse 13. Who were born not of blood. Now please understand this. Born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. If you're a Christian today, if you profess Christ, if you're trusting in Christ and Christ alone, it's not because of your parents' DNA. It's not because you were born and reared in a Christian family. It's not because, spiritually speaking, you were brought up on the right side of the tracks. Having Christian parents, growing up in a Christian family, growing up in a church family, friends, that is a blessing. That's a blessing you should be giving to every one of your children and grandchildren. But please understand, you cannot program Christianity into your children. They're not computers. You cannot, by sheer force of your willpower, become a member of God's forever family any more than you can will yourself to be born. I want you to realize this Christmas Eve The salvation that Jesus brings, this salvation never has, and it never did originate with you. See, if you're a Christian, it's because God's grace opened your heart to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. I submit to you this morning that what we have in verse 13 is a huge piece of humble pie. But if you really understand grace, this piece of pie in verse 13 tastes better than any piece of pie you'll eat tomorrow. I'll guarantee you. If you understand grace. See, when it comes to receiving Christ, we're humbled because God is sovereign. Salvation is from the Lord. It's not from us. We don't save ourselves. God is sovereign. But here's the other side of that coin. We are responsible for how we receive the light. So I ask you this morning, what will you do with the light? Ultimately, where life begins for us is when we receive the light. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us. See, that's the message of Christianity. God has descended to us. Descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. That is our prayer. Is that your prayer this day? Let's pray. Lord, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory because Jesus, the light of the world, has come into this dark world. Lord, we pray that empowered by your grace that we'll respond by witnessing to the light, that we'll make sure we're prepared and that we are the chief repenters in our marriages and families and neighborhoods and schools. Lord, the best witness we realize is the witness of a changed life lived under your lordship. Lord, let us beware lest we reject the light today. Lord, we pray our lives would be not inconsistent, but consistent with our confession of faith. And Lord, I pray that each person in this room this morning has responded by receiving Jesus the light, that our faith and trust would be in Christ and Christ alone, that we would realize we cannot save ourselves. But yet, Lord, we are responsible for how we respond to the gospel. Lord, we thank you for the one light that you've given us, the light who is Jesus Christ. And we pray, God, that we would respond to that light with humility, with gratitude, with obedience, with praise. Lord, thank you for sending the light. Thank you for taking us out of darkness. And we pray, God, that our lives would be a never-ending doxology of praise to you because the light has come. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.